Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hello there.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, guys. Great show. Love it.
Good morning, guys. Big fan of the show.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
Call or text WGR at 803-0550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to Jeremy and Joe now.
Hey, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Short week. Bills play in 2 days.
Victory Tuesday.
Yeah.
For a lot of my fantasy teams. Not all of them. Most of them.
There you go. Fantasy Victory Tuesday. And
yes.
Then there's also the Jets lost Victory Tuesday.
Yes.
I'm going to bask in that.
That is a victory. Yeah, they lost.
I feel like you're ready for a victory lap today. You deserve one. Rodgers did not look like any sort of league MVP at all.
No, he looked old.
He looked like a guy with an Achilles injury that's not going to be able to get away from anybody at all.
Can I do like 90% here, though? Like, I feel like his right arm didn't look that old.
Yeah, that looks fine.
The rest of his body looked old.
Yes.
The rest of him looked really old. But yeah, he could still throw the ball.
That's fair. Yeah, he had a couple nice drives. Saw Peter Schrager joking that the opening touchdown drive for them was the best drive the Jets have had in 20 years. It was pretty good. Breece Hall looked pretty good. Garrett Wilson looked pretty good. The Niners looked pretty good, I mean, if we're being honest.
With injuries, right? Like,
yep.
No McCaffrey. He doesn't play in the game. And Ayuk was playing limited snaps. And even in the targets he got,
Trent Williams
went out.
Trent Williams skipped the entire preseason.
Yep.
And came in and did not allow a pressure when he played.
Yeah, I did get people mad at me on Twitter because I jinxed the Jets for a moment, reverse jinx, by pointing out in the third quarter that Zach Wilson had more yards at that time in the game last year against the Bills than Rodgers had in this game.
That's pretty good.
But then Rodgers immediately came down and threw a touchdown pass. But that was it. That was all. There was nothing really after that. Until Tyrod got on the field. Then they moved the ball again.
It's a tough ask for the Jets to open the season in San Francisco. Like, if we're being real, that is a big, tough ask. You know who's good? Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is a... Do I want to put very in front of it? Brock Purdy is an impressive quarterback at running that offense. He does make throws on the run. He does make throws with his feet. He's not a freak show.
Yeah.
But, man, Purdy's good.
I don't know why I didn't tweet this. Things I didn't tweet last night, I don't know why I didn't. One of the Purdy throws, maybe it was one of those where he was on the run and he threw it down the field, and I thought, this guy looks like he has better arm talent than half the league.
Yeah.
Did we watch Deshaun Watson on Sunday? Who's got a better arm? Who's got more athletic traits right now, Brock Purdy or Deshaun Watson? Who can make more throws on the field? I mean, he looks like he has more arm strength to me than guys like Tua.
Well, that's the number one guy. Like, the guy he gets compared to the most is Tua, because they're in these systems with lots of talent, and they're not thought to be super dynamic, and he is, for my opinion, way past Tua on the improvisational stuff. Tua does it from time to time, but no, Purdy, whatever, I was impressed. I think that Jets defense, whatever, it's week one, so either they're overrated or he's really good, you know, like, we kind of have to take stock in every one of these teams as we go, but I was impressed. I think Purdy is good.
Man, and the Jets defense last night, like, you had it is the Niners. Like, it's Kyle Shanahan, right? So even a diminished form of them without the running back and with Ayuk and limited, like, whatever. The Jets defense, Bill Barnwell pointed out, had two pressures on the whole game, and they lost, I think it's Chris Clemens, one of their starting defensive ends. Sauce Gardner left for a bit with an injury.
Shoulder injury, I think.
Okay, and he did come back. Their other corner, Michael Carter, left the game. DJ Reed, their nickel corner, left the game and then I think came back. So they had like four starters on defense that all got injured at one point. A couple of them did come back. And Hassan Reddick is probably licking his chops right now, right? Out away from wherever he is.
How much they need him right now?
They look like they need Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, yeah.
At least in that game against Trent Williams and the Niners line.
The Niners ran for 180 in this game. They had 400 yards total offense. And if you are someone that thought Debo is better than Ayuk and that the Niners should not pay Ayuk, well, last night was a good night for you. Debo was incredible last night.
Yeah.
My favorite moment might have been when Debo Samuel held on a Jordan Mason touchdown to have it called off the board, and then they gave the ball to Debo for the touchdown. Uh-huh. In film, I mean, if you're a receiver, you might think, you know, if you're a guy like him, like, maybe I should hold at the 1 yard line. I'll get the ball.
Yeah.
Talk about a me guy, a holding pen. No, anyway, he was great. The Niners.
Jordan Mason, the backup that came in for McCaffrey, was awesome.
Absolutely awesome.
And, like, that wasn't just, hey, holes wide open, anybody can look good on, like, sure, holes were probably wide open for him, but
whatever.
Like, he looked fast, he looked like he was creating for them, so.
He played the McCaffrey role, the volume, and all of it.
Yeah, what do you have, 28 carries.
28 carries.
28 carries, yeah.
All right, 803-0550 is our phone number. That's a quick recap of last night. The Jets are 0-1. The other three teams in the division are 1-0. The Niners get the win on Monday Night Football. I watched a lot of the Manning cast. Why? Because it's Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, and Bill Belichick.
Yep.
I'm watching a football game with Peyton Manning and Bill Belichick. Now, this is not for everyone. It is for me. I love it. I mean, I've been telling you since the Manning cast started, it's my favorite. I don't need to hear Troy Aikman tell me that third and long is bad. I need Bill Belichick and Peyton Manning to talk about, and Belichick's in there talking about how the Niners are attacking the C-gap of the Jets with regularity, and here's why it's working, and here's what they need to do. Man, just great, great stuff.
Manning was constant. There was the point in which I tweeted that I learned more from the Manning cast yesterday than, like, Brady in a year doing his job. His job is so different. Like, I caught a clip of Brady six times. I mean, it's his first time, but six times on the broadcast on Sunday for Browns and Cowboys, Brady made the point, it's harder to go forward than it after you go backward, like when a team takes a penalty. He just made the same point, cliche, over and over and over. And on the Manning cast, I've got Peyton Manning, like, yelling at me why the Niners should hit the Jets for a post route because they keep showing cover zero. Yeah.
Right.
Like,
right.
I've got real football. I feel like I've got real football analysis from the Manning cast.
And Belichick there, it is funny. I mean, they played up a lot of those two arguing about their playing days and matchups, or Manning's remembering down to the play before a field goal that Vanderjagt missed, whatever. A lot of stuff.
They got to figure out that lag, though.
Yes.
The lag with the... I had to turn it off for a few minutes because it was driving me nuts. There was a huge lag between Peyton and Belichick, and Peyton was getting visibly frustrated by it. Like, I kept looking at his face every time they would start to talk at the same time and then stop and then start, and Peyton would just, like, throw himself back in his chair, like, okay, this is happening again. So they got to figure that out. But that did not persist with just stick around when who were the last two? Adam Sandler
and then Chris Jones.
Chris Jones.
I did not see Chris Jones. I did see Adam Sandler because he's a Jets fan, and they basically laughed at life as a Jets fan.
Chris Jones was good too. But yeah, Sandler was funny watching him as Rodgers immediately threw an interception when they brought him out.
Yep. All right. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550. Okay, news on the Bills today. The good news is Josh Allen has been cleared to practice and cleared to play. So that's good news. He dodges a bullet, right? Can I say it's like they won a coin toss? He injured a hand. He could have landed on the other hand. He landed on his non-throwing hand. I don't know if Allen is in midair thinking enough to put his non-throwing hand down for the landing, but he's fine, I guess. McDermott, speaking of this, McDermott had a word he used when talking about the injury. After Allen goes back in, he got evaluated, he goes back in, and he, ready for it, functioned. He functioned after going back in. Now, any of you out there that have played quarterback on a high level, I don't know how important your non-throwing hand is. I'd imagine, depending on where the pain is, holding the ball, receiving snaps,
handing it off
a certain way, like you might need your non-throwing hand for some things. Of course, it's not a deal breaker. So, okay, week one. We made it to week one, and now we can have the conversation. Should he dial it back? He jumps over Budda Baker. Mm-hmm. I, I did go back and watch the play like 100 times because now I have a million things about it that I love. The end zone angle, where it really is man on man. Two men meet in the arena, one man leaves. Buda Baker is so squared up on Allen. Allen drops one of those stutter steps that he uses a lot and uses very effectively, by the way. And then he launches over Baker. And the only thing I wish, Joe, is I wish someone didn't hit Allen after, because I want to know if he was going to land on his feet. I want to know how he was going to land, because he got way up there. And Allen taking the hit that he takes kind of distracts from just how much Buda Baker missed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Buda Baker caught so much air as Allen goes right over top of him.
Did he catch any of
Allen? He got a little bit of his leg, but not enough to be an issue.
Yeah.
And then the other hit is what knocks him and has him land the way that he does. So a Twitter poll for you, and you can give us a call on this. I wonder if the Bills are already spooked and might have a chat with him about taking it down a notch. Not forever.
Yeah.
Like, buddy, it's week one.
Mm-hmm.
It is week one. We can afford, against Arizona in the opener, to not score a touchdown there, have you kick a field goal. We cannot afford you missing 4 weeks. This team, more than ever, right? You're a leader on this team. This team, more than ever, needs him to stay healthy. And I drive the bus with all of you that say running quarterbacks don't get hurt more often than guys that stand in the pocket. Okay, the data backs that up. Mm-hmm. I do not have 15 years of data of quarterbacks jumping into wood chippers. And Allen,
we have one. It's Newton.
Right.
That's it.
And he got banged up. And Allen jumps into wood chippers. So if the Bills are spooked at all, it would not surprise me. Because it's week one. You don't have to do that on every single play. It's not that different a conversation than when he wings a ball that's an interception down the field against the Jets in the opener. It's like, hey, we don't need all that back in one play. You know, tone it down a notch. So the battle for Josh Allen's soul, maybe it starts earlier than ever. I don't know that they're, again, not stop running, not stop doing everything, but maybe don't jump over a linebacker in week one.
I'm watching,
or safety in this case.
Yeah. What would the alternative have been on that play to like slide when he's 5 yards away from Buda Baker?
Yeah.
Because running him over is not going to incur any less contact,
it's
right?
It's slide, or better than that, it's dive. Lead with your head.
That's tough too, though, isn't it?
No, no. There's a small movement that's happening. Lamar doesn't slide.
Yeah, that's
Lamar
right.
Dives.
Yeah.
A better way to preserve yourself is to dive. Because when you slide, you put yourself in a vulnerable position. And when you dive, these defenders are not going to get low enough, fast enough to hit your head. Dive.
All right. Really, I mean, again, like it's about Brady a little bit for me. I'm watching that Buda Baker playback where he jumps over him. And why does he bail in the pocket? Well, one, there is a hole there. But two, there's not a single guy open. Shakir's not open. Coleman's not open. Kincaid got picked up. Matt Collins is getting double covered in the end zone. So there's no one open. What does he do?
Pulls it down.
Tuck it and run.
Yeah.
And that's really always going to be more impactful. I feel like they could tell him outright, you are not allowed to run anymore.
Right. I know.
Like, you can't. And he, you know, that probably would dial it down. He would still do it, though, once in a while.
Yes, he would say, oopsie.
Instinctual, it would take over and go, ooh, I can get in here. I'm 4 yards from the end zone. I can get over this guy, and I can get to the goal line. And the way to prevent that, the always the most efficient way to prevent that, more than telling him anything, is going to be have somebody wide open for him on this play. You have somebody wide open for him on this play, and his hand is fine. You don't have the poster, but his hand would be fine.
That might be easier said than done, just, you know, because that's a longer play. What's the down and distance on that? Third and long?
Let's see.
A long run.
No, you're right. It's second and goal at the 6.
Okay, then, you know, you don't have to do it.
Second and goal at the 6, yeah.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, 803-0550, we'll get some calls in on this. I got a Twitter poll, like, do you want him to take it down a notch, like not forever, but early in the year? You can vote in the poll. The options are early in the year, yes, or never. YOLO.
I think I might vote never.
Okay.
I think I just, you know, he's at an age where he can still, he scored, he beat, that he had both kinds of rushing touchdowns athletically on Sunday. He jumped over somebody, and another one where he beat a guy to the corner. Right?
He's at an age where he's lucky it was the left and not the right.
Yeah. But he's at an age where his running is still dangerous. And I don't know.
Oh, for sure. There's no doubt about that.
And I feel I always feel hesitant to just say, even dialing it back. That's not saying stop it, but dialing it back when I've got, you know, I've got a window here. I got all these window conversations. I've got a window of Allen being an athlete like that I don't know how long it will last.
Won't it last?
And I want to go in a year where it's a transition year and you might need every little bit of offense to be,
Week one, Arizona.
I mean,
2nd and 6, Week 1, Arizona. I need it.
But we've talked about how many close games they're going to be in, right? Like, what's their margin of error going to be?
I don't know.
They might.
It's Week 1, Arizona.
I think they might need Week 1, Arizona more than they have in 5 years.
Okay, that might be right.
Yeah. So I don't know. Again, I'm tripped up on it because I don't want him running 15, 20 times a game.
No.
Who's more scared about their quarterback running today, Allen, Baltimore fans or Bills fans? Because Lamar had to run every play.
Yeah,
for Baltimore.
He's running for his life.
And he, by the way, is mysteriously absent.
To me, it's not the runs. It's the contact.
Right.
The rules are different. Buddy, you can run to your heart's content. The rules exist. You get to run, and they don't even get to hit you.
Just don't get blasted.
Just don't do that thing.
Yeah.
Because you're lucky. He is lucky to get away with it. He's lucky.
Is he lucky or is he just big?
Lucky.
He's lucky?
Yep. He's lucky it's the left and not the right. If it's the right, what are we talking about today? What's the story? Could he play with it? Could he throw with it?
If he's the right, I think we're talking about he should never jump over somebody.
That's the right.
Yeah.
If it's the right hand, it's okay. That part of your career has ended. And of course he would do it his first game back.
Right. Yeah.
All right, 803-0550. We'll get some calls in. We got lots to get to. I watched Jags Dolphins, so you guys don't have to. If you wanted to, that's fine. Some takeaways on that as we get ready for Bills Dolphins. We got the Monday Nighter last night, where we're going to be into Week 2 pretty quickly. Instant trivia, Sal Capaccio, Chris Trapasso. Lots to get to today. We'll start off in Florida for Kyle, who joins us this morning. Hey, Kyle, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are we doing today?
Good.
Good.
Well, I was calling about something, but now you got me fired up on what you're talking about. So,
give us both.
Give us both. That's fine.
All right. So, with the Josh Run thing, I'm squarely in where Joe's at, which is we're going to need wins now more than ever this year. And in order to do that, we're going to need all of Josh to get there. And the idea that the team would spend time with Josh kind of talking through the pros and cons, I don't want him thinking about that at all when he's instinctual in-game processing. And the beauty of Josh in those plays that no one else in the league can provide is his length. So he tries to dunk over Buddha. It's a basketball move, and he does this all the time, and he tries to dunk over people.
That's right.
It's because he's 6'7", right? Like, He's got length that Lamar doesn't have. He's got length that Kyler Murray doesn't have. So he's got the mobility of all these quarterbacks. But then you can take a 2nd and 6, and a 2nd and 6 for Kyler Murray, the right call may be to dive. Josh has got a fully extended almost 3 yards when he's out. So he's trying to dunk over everyone, and I never want him thinking not to do that. And he's done it a lot. So that's where I land on that. I don't know if I have time to get to my other point.
You do. Go ahead.
So, I listen way too much to you guys. So, yesterday, all the time, right? So, yesterday, the conversation was largely part of just the discussion about McDermott's conservative play calling at the end of games. And I think that's all probably warranted. It's fine. It's also kind of funny for me as a drought baby to just think about the luxury we live in now, that's the stuff that we get to sort of really nitpick. And I know that that's just part of the evolution. But one of the things that we don't talk nearly enough, and maybe Sal does, and I just can't get over how good this defensive staff is at placing people who are in reserve or backup roles into their system. And it wasn't perfect yesterday. I feel like, Jeremy, you're saying, like, we need to take the week one, like, the you know how we do the preseason pledge? We almost need to do the week one pledge because we have no idea who these teams will be. But I was really impressed with the second half, the way that they went in, they made adjustments, and they were doing it with Jamarcus Ingram and Cam Lewis and Dorian Williams, right? I mean, that's the other thing. We didn't even talk about the fact, like, we just go ahead and we move out Matt Milano again, and I think we got a pretty decent shot at Dorian being at minimum serviceable in that role, and that seems to go unnoticed. We live in a luxury of a really, really sound defensive operation.
Yeah,
I feel like we just don't talk about it.
Kyle, would you be willing to just say, I mean, like, some fans might make that same observation but not be willing to connect the other dot, the final dot, which is, hey man, it's Sean McDermott.
Yeah. I mean, it is, right? For as much as we want to get on Sean about maybe his lack of skill, or I shouldn't even say lack of skill, but where his in-game managing at the end of games and all that, again, is probably warranted. We are dealing with, I think, an incredible defensive mind. And we benefit from that.
Yep.
And everyone always wants to point out the offensive stuff, and I get it. But we have a top-tier defensive mind as our play caller, and he always gets the best out of our team.
Yeah, thanks.
So,
thanks, Kyle. Thanks, yep. Thanks for calling. Thanks for chatting with us. Thanks for listening way too much, as you say. Yep. Call as often as you want.
I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, yes. Kyle. Yeah, like, on McDermott here, I had somebody yesterday mad at me for not calling out McDermott for his terrible defense. Like, you've got some Bills fans that can't see past some of his mistakes, and there are mistakes. A lot of coaches make a lot of mistakes. But whether it's defensive play caller, game planner, system designer, player development, whatever you want to say, you can check whichever box you want. Like, how many years of good defense do you need to see to just be like, well, okay, he figured it out. Oh, let's see him do it without Trey White. Did it. Let's see him do it without, now that Vaughn's out, you know, kind of did it. Let's see him do it without Poyer and Hyde. We're one game into that, but in years past when Damar Hamlin had to go in, they're still fine. Like, the defensive system, all the years of who's their corner two? Is it E.J. Gaines? Is it Josh Norman? Is it Kyer Elam, Levi Wallace? I mean, you name it. Vontae Davis. Oh, he retired at halftime. That's okay. They're fine. Doesn't matter. Put some players back there. They're going to get the most out of it. He needs some talent, of course. Rasul Douglas. Hey, let's trade for that guy. Okay, boom. He's good. He's great. Just need a couple pieces in there. You give me a couple pieces.
Yeah.
I'll take a couple pieces off the street, and I'll put together a great secondary that gets the job done. Now, that said, the tests get a lot tougher. This week, no Taron Johnson. Next week,
yep.
Jacksonville, Houston, Baltimore. In the other order, Baltimore and Houston.
We maybe should talk about, though, at some point, like, McDermott against number one receivers. His track record is kind of insane.
Yeah.
Even, we'll get to it with Hill this week. You got to narrow it down to regular season for this. But Tyreek Hill averages less yards against the Bills in more games. He's played more games against the Bills in the regular season than almost any other team. And the Bills, he averages the least amount of yards against.
Well,
51 yards per game.
You might say against number one receivers. I'm just going to go with against passing.
Passing in general.
Do number two receivers light them up? Not really. Do tight ends? Yes, Kelsey. That's it.
Yep.
803-0550. Jeremy and Joe, good Tuesday morning. Short week, of course. We'll continue to recap the Jets and the Niners, what you need to know from last night, the Jordan Mason fantasy football controversy.
Jordan Mason also might be in trouble with his head coach.
That's the fantasy football controversy.
Yeah.
The Niners are about to get fined for this.
Because of what Jordan Mason did.
Yep. We'll tell you about that. Get your calls, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Head over to WGR550.com. Enter for your chance to win a Blackstone 2-burner Black Outdoor LP gas griddle just in time for tailgate season, courtesy of Value Home Centers.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers, from the route trees to who plays better in man or zone. We provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm glad we made those adjustments. Players look like they got into a rhythm in the second half, and some of that comes from just waiting for Kyler maybe to try and get out of the pocket instead of going to get him in an aggressive fashion. And, you know, look, it's first game, so there's a lot of unknowns, and you haven't been back in the saddle for some of those guys in a while, so I'm glad we played ourselves through it and coached ourselves through it, but we got to be better overall in terms of affecting the quarterback and also making sure we keep contained.
Bills head coach, Sean McDermott. Here's a stat of the day for you for the Bills defense. Patrick Moran had this one of the Talking Buffalo podcast. Pat found from PFF that Christian Benford and Rasul Douglas in this game against the Cardinals, they were targeted 3 times total.
It's amazing.
Yeah. The Cardinals did not throw it to the receivers. On the outside.
Yeah.
Benford and Douglas had the most boring days of their lives. 3 targets. Arizona did not attempt to go after the Bills starting corners in this game.
I'm looking at those numbers right now. Greg Rousseau was targeted more times in this game than Christian Benford was.
Wait. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, because he was into coverage?
They would have done a
nearest defender?
Yes. No. Some form. There was one of these plays on the final drive, but some form of blitz where Rousseau dropped into coverage. Rousseau had, by the way, the day he had 3 sacks and he had a couple of big run stops. I think on the final drive, he had a pass breakup against Trey McBride.
Heck of a game.
Yeah.
Stat of the day. So, on Rousseau getting that sack for chasing Murray out of bounds.
Yeah, he had 5 coverages in the game.
Should that not go as a sack? Not just for Rousseau, but for anybody. You being the closest defender when a quarterback runs out of bound for a 1-yard loss is like when an own goal gets scored in hockey and they just give it to the last guy that touched the puck. Yeah. Congratulations, you got a goal. Like, some goals are hard to get.
You want to make it like the NFL equivalent of an own goal? Kind of? An own goal sack?
What about just making it a tackle for loss?
But he also doesn't really tackle him either.
I know.
So maybe it shouldn't go on the defensive box score.
If a guy won the sack title with 11 sacks chasing a guy out of bounds, what would we think?
But hey, let's look at Greg Rousseau's highlight reel as he gets to 25 sacks, and 16 of them are just he's chasing a guy out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean, he, of course, had a great game, so I'm not trying to take anything away from him.
But should Vaughn's count? Did you see Vaughn's sack? Vaughn's was he pushed the lineman back. Kyler tripped over his own lineman.
Definitely.
So, okay, he should...
Yes.
Okay.
If I throw...
Even though he's not the one that brings Murray to the ground.
Yeah, if I throw a 300-pound item at your legs and you fall, that's a sack.
Okay.
I just called the tackle
but in
an
the,
item.
In the Murray... Should it be subjective? In the Murray going out of bounds thing, what's the thought? That, if he doesn't go out of bounds here, really, Rousseau's got him. And his only escape is he's going to run out of bounds?
Well, if he's thinking straight, his escape should be to throw it away.
Right.
You'd want your quarterback to throw it away.
That's
it was
right.
A very, very small loss, so you're not going to be that upset about it. But if you run out of bounds like that for a loss of 7, you're saying, what are you doing?
I am pretty sure Sean Merriman's only sack as a Buffalo Bill was running a guy running out of bounds. Am I right on that?
Can I tell
that
you,
sounds
Joe,
right.
I'm so upset that you beat me to that. I was getting ready to say.
Oh, really?
It was against the Bears? And I don't
I'm
know,
looking.
it might have been the preseason, might have been regular season. Sean Merriman's only sack as a Bill was chasing a guy out of bounds.
Okay, he had 2 sacks for the Bills.
Okay, I guess he had 2.
He had 2 sacks for the Bills. His first year, where are these sacks?
People don't know that lights out.
Cincinnati and Chicago.
Lights out meant chase a guy out of bounds. That's what it was about.
Yeah. Miami and Cincinnati.
Okay.
There was 2 sacks, not Chicago.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Bills and Dolphins coming your way Thursday. Quick week.
If Achane is banged up, by the way, we had that in the update, like he didn't practice yesterday. What is a hamstring for him? You watch that game back? Like
That
dude is lightning.
So here's my quick review of Miami's offense in this game. I've got a lot to say about both Miami and Jacksonville for the game they played. Miami did what Arizona did, which was the entire start of the game was giving the ball to one guy. The whole offense was Achane.
Yeah.
Just like Arizona came in and you couldn't believe how many times they were going to give the ball or throw the ball to James Conner. Mm-hmm. That was Achan for them. And thinking about their attack, like, okay, what is Miami doing with Achan? Do you remember, like, Grandpa tell you a story about Tom Brady back in the day? So back in the day, Brady used to have these throws to Kevin Falk that they treated as the extended run game, right? That was when we started to learn about, oh, extended handoffs, where it's a pitch out and the running back is already in space with a blocker or two against defensive backs. They did that with Achan a bunch, motioning him across the formation and then throwing it to him immediately to try to get him in space. And it worked pretty well. He was the focal point of their offense early in that game, Achan was. Mm-hmm. And if he's not available, and Mostert's not available, well, then it becomes a rookie, Jalen Wright, mm-hmm. who is a rookie, and maybe if you have a dynasty format with some deep pulls, you might have Jalen Wright on your team. He is, shocker, super fast. Mm-hmm. They wanted another super fast running back, so that might be who gets it against the Bills. It's also possible they're resting anybody because it's a short week, and why would you practice? If you're a little banged up,
right.
I don't need you to practice. We're not going to have a lot of practice this week as it is.
It actually, it is worth pointing out. I'm reading about it now. That was the Bills different? The Dolphins did not actually practice yesterday. It was an estimation of if they had practiced, who would have practiced and who wouldn't have.
Uh-huh.
So maybe, and it's an ankle for Achan, not a hamstring. So ankle injury for him, chest injury for Mostert. They also have Jeff Wilson, I think, still on the team. But they were lining him up out wide, right? Like they were getting creative with how to use him. And he was someone that went off against the Bills last year. Like he did not play a lot last year because of injuries. This was the big thing about him in fantasy this year was when he played last year, the dude was unbelievable. Led the league in yards per carry by a mile, and all the advanced numbers, like yards over expected, he led by a mile. Like he was the best running back in football when he was on the field. But he only played 11 games. And even in those, I think he didn't really even play until like the third one or the fourth one. So it was more like 8-9 games. And the two games he had against the Bills, like he kind of went off against the Bills. They didn't do a great job of shutting him down. He went 8-for-101 and 2 touchdowns in week 4. And then in week 17, 10-for-56 in a touchdown and then a couple in the air as well. So that's a player that was hurting the Bills last year. Just because of the game script.
They got away from it.
They didn't really have the chance to give it to him as much. Or, right, they just got away from it on their own.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us, Jeremy and Joe. I have instant trivia that I had yesterday and we never got to. You want to do it?
Yes, let's do it.
Instant trivia comes to you courtesy of Mike Evans.
Get the mind going here before 7 a.m. Mike Evans?
Little eye-opener.
Love Mike Evans trivia.
Yep. Little eye-opener. So Mike Evans caught a couple of touchdowns, right, for Tampa.
Yep, caught one with his legs.
Shocker. He had what?
He caught one with his legs.
That's right.
The second one, it like went through his hands and he caught it with his knees.
Yeah, into the breadbasket kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so your trivia is, Mike Evans is now one of 6 players to score 95 touchdowns or more and only play for one team. So it's not, you can't have scored 95 for one team and then gone somewhere else. So okay. Jerry Rice is wrong because he played for more than one team.
Yes, he did. Three teams.
There are players that played for only one team with 95 touchdowns for that team.
Okay.
There are 5 others. Mike Evans and who?
Okay, so the first name that comes to mind is Larry Fitzgerald.
That is correct. Larry Fitzgerald, all with the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay, his name came up yesterday, and I think he only played for one team. I just don't know if he got the 95, but I'm going to guess Hines Ward.
No.
Okay. Didn't get the 95. He definitely did not play anywhere else, though.
You should get one more, one and a half. Getting them all is impossible.
One more
for
that's
you.
Like a legend, kind of.
These are all legends to a degree. There's one you're never going to get.
Why?
He played in the 30s.
Like Billy White Shoes Johnson.
No, he's actually the Alabama Antelope. That was his nickname. The Alabama Antelope.
The guy that
you're not going to get.
The Alabama Antelope. Now I want to really be impressive and I'll never get it. The guy that just unretired his number for the Giants, whatever his name is. Not him.
95 touchdowns, only playing for one franchise.
Michael Irvin.
These are receiving touchdowns. No.
No Michael Irvin. Okay, how about... If Jerry Rice is wrong, is Tim Brown right?
Tim Brown is not correct.
Not just for the Raiders.
Okay.
Is it more recent than that?
Two guys are fairly recent.
Okay. This is tougher than I thought it was.
One of them has
because it's tough to you got to get a guy that like only played for one team.
Right. Tim Brown's wrong because he went to Tampa for one season.
Oh, okay. See, right. Like
you could be on this list and go off of this list.
So easily.
Yeah. One guy had his son in town this week.
Oh, Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison is correct. He did it all with the Colts.
Is Reggie Wayne right?
No.
Did he play somewhere else?
I don't know, but he's not right.
Okay. Okay, Marvin Harrison. There are three more?
There are three more. A wide receiver, a tight end, and the Alabama Antelope.
A tight end. Travis Kelce?
Reggie Wayne had 82 touchdowns. No.
Antonio Gates.
Yes.
Yep.
Antonio Gates, 95-plus touchdowns for the Chargers.
Okay.
Travis Kelce has 74 career touchdowns. Two more. One a receiving legend, and one is the Alabama Antelope. I got to do this quickly, too.
Receiver.
I'll just give it to you. Receiver from the 80s, one of the best receivers of all time, especially from that era. Steve Largent.
Okay, sure.
Did it with the Seahawks. And the Alabama Antelope
Who is this guy?
Don Hutson.
Don Hutson?
Don Hutson. Those are
all for what team?
Green Bay.
Okay.
I think. All those guys had 95 touchdowns with one team. Receiving touchdowns with one team. Hutson is listed as an edge defensive back and defensive end. he played left end.
Uh-huh.
And
left end, and he caught 95 touchdowns.
99 touchdowns in the 30s and 40s.
Amazing. I love 30s football.
There you go. There's your instant trivia. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550. We'll chat with Sal coming up at 8. We'll chat with Chris Trapasso. CBS Sports, get his thoughts on week one, not just for the Bills, but around the league. As we chop it up on a Tuesday on a short week, Dolphins coming up. It's a big one. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. So if you're waking up, you missed last night, the Jets lost. Rodgers did not look anything too threatening.
Nope. Breece Hall looked rough, had a couple drops.
Yeah.
He didn't have a lot of room to run.
Jordan Mason was a better yards over expectation than Breece Hall was in this game.
Yep.
Jordan Mason had more carries than any running back in the Kyle Shanahan era. And here's the real big controversy. So, Kyle Shanahan, watch your back. The entire fantasy football nerd world.
He's very mad at Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. Because Jordan Mason was asked when he found out he'd be starting. And he said Friday.
Unbelievable.
And McCaffrey was a late scratch leading right into the game. The league is not going to like that. Kyle Shanahan says he did not tell him on Friday. Jordan Mason says he told me on Friday. And now Jordan Mason is mad he was asked the question. And he's maybe in trouble with his coach, but he shouldn't be in trouble with his coach. His coach should be in trouble instead. The fantasy world.
He accidentally told the truth.
Yes.
It seems.
They're coming for you, Kyle Shanahan. Look out.
Plan Bs. Hopefully you had him out there for McCaffrey missing. I had to start Kyle Juszczyk in a league. The fullback.
He had a big catch.
Two catches for 40 yards. You know what? I have to play the fullback last second, and he gets 6 points for me? That's fine.
Not bad. Bills and Dolphins. Maybe you're heading there today. What a great trip that'll be. Get on the plane. Chock full of Bills fans.
Yeah, a little warm.
September in Miami. Let's go. Jeremy and Joe, we'll dig into the matchup a little bit, recap a couple more thoughts on Bills and Cardinals, what we learned, what's still to be learned. It's the biggest question going forward. 803-0550 on WGR.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.